Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of the program. It's our purpose to speak on the things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. So, for that reason, if there's any question or comment, favorable or unfavorable, that you might have concerning things that we say on the program, let us hear from you. Or maybe you have a Bible question, maybe a Bible subject that you've been studying, and maybe you would like for us to spend time and study that subject or question on the program. But again, let us hear from you. You can contact me at the address given by the announcer, or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. This being Wednesday evening, the East Abbotville Church of Christ meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 will conduct a period of Bible study. There are classes for all ages, so you can bring your family and anticipate to study only what the Bible teaches. We urge you to come and bring your Bibles and study with us. If it is at all impossible for you to come to the building, we'd like for you to be mindful that at 7 o'clock you can log on to eastabbotville.org/live, and you can see and hear the adult Bible class this evening. Certainly keep this in mind. We urge you to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ is to be preached to every person. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And that's true for each and every generation. Each and every generation has a need for the gospel to be preached and for the gospel to be heard. So for that reason, it must be simple enough for everyone to understand. You know, the idea that the scheme of redemption is some sort of a mystified, difficult to understand, it's not so. The Word of God is simple enough to know. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's simple enough to be understood. Paul said that these things I've written briefly already, that when you read, you may understand. So, in Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 3. And 2, the gospel is simple enough to sanctify. John 17:17, Jesus in that prayer to the Father said to the Father, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." And it's simple enough to effectively work in those that believe. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, Paul said, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the words of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." See, the Bible, too, is filled with assurances that the message of God can be only accurately understood, but acted upon as well. And that's what we see it being done when the gospel was first preached in Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. Peter said, "Let all of the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So again, the Bible is filled with assurances that the message of God can be not only accurately understood, but acted upon. And let us see, for instance, what the Bible says about faith. That can be understood. In the first place, there is no scripture in all of the inspired word that affirms salvation coming at the point of faith. Second, there is not even the slightest hint that faith comes in some mysterious, better felt than told feeling. When faith comes, the Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. See, in fact, one could not obey God in the absence of the information that's found in his word. Any person who will affirm that his faith come in some different way is seriously deceived, and they're in need of studying and understanding what the Bible teaches. Bible belief comes by way of the taught word and in no other way. Notice Jesus said in John chapter 20, or rather the statement is made about Jesus in John chapter 20, verse 30. Truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Friends, what the Bible says about baptism can be understood. The scriptures say that baptism is for believers. Mark 16:15, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So we see then that a statement is made here which in the very nature of the case eliminates infants, babies, as subjects for baptism. The Bible says that baptism is a burial. We read that in Romans chapter 6. Notice verse 3. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So, friends, if baptism is a burial, as the Bible says, then that means that sprinkling is not baptism. The Bible says that baptism is for the remission of sins. That's what we read just a moment ago in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When the question was asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter responded, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. And we're told in Acts 22 and verse 16, the definition of the word remission. When Ananias came to Saul of Tarsus, he said, arise, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So friends, if that doesn't not mean that it's necessary to be baptized in order to be saved, then what does it mean? Now, these are not statements that are set forth merely as, quote, Church of Christ doctrine, nor are they simply statements that represent my own personal view. Friends, these are statements that we've taken, we've read them from the Book of God, the Bible. And you can read them. And as we read and understand, you can read and understand, if we'll only be honest individuals that are truly interested in knowing what the Bible teaches on a subject. But two, what the Bible says about the church can be understood. In Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. It's in Acts 2 that we read in verse 47 that the Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. What's the conclusion? Well, in the first verse, Matthew 16:18, Jesus says that he would build his church. In the passage in Acts, people were added to the church. So we see then that the church is not some social institution, but the church is saved people. You are not in the church to be saved. but because you are saved. The church is the saved. So, friends, the conclusion is inescapable. Christ built his church, and when he was finished, to whom does it belong? And when he had finished it, was it divided into 100 or thousands of denominations, each one different from another? You know, if Christ promised the church, and if Christ built the church, whose is it? What name should it wear? Should it wear a name that's fashioned after its method of doing things? Or should it be named after one concocted because of the peculiar form of government? Or is one devised to depict some aspect of its teaching? Friends, the church of Christ is his. He promised it. He built it. It belongs to him. It should wear his name. Also, we read in Ephesians 4 and verse 4 that there is one body. And we know what the body is because we read in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. And he, that is God, put all things under his feet, that is Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Ephesians 4, verse 4, there's one body. Ephesians 1, verses 22 and 23, the body is the church. Friends, if we use that kind of language today, could we understand it? Do you think? Is there more than one Paris, France? Is there more than one Rome, Italy? The Bible says plainly there is one church, one body, his church, his body. Now, how many do we get out of one? And two, what the Bible says about falling from grace, that can be understood. You know, most of today's denomination of the world believe and teach Calvinistic doctrine that once the man has been saved, he cannot sin so as to be lost. But friends, the Word of God states very clearly that the grace of God can be received in vain. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1, we then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. The grace of God can be turned to lasciviousness. That we read in the book of Jude. In Jude, no chapters, but verse 4. But certain men crept in unnoticed who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of God can be frustrated. It can be made void. That we see when we go back to Galatians. In the second chapter, verse 21. Notice, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. So the grace of God can be frustrated, it can be set aside. And when we go into chapter 5 of Galatians, here's what we read in verse 4. It said, you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. Friends, is that so hard to understand? So who would you believe? The Bible is admittedly difficult in some places, but friends, we must study to show ourselves approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2, verses 15 and 16. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow, and it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.